Welcome everyone to the Alliance National Department of Peacebuilding Campaign monthly call on third Wednesdays. Tonight is December 16, 2020, and it's the third call in the series of our far out planning, 1 to 3 years. And we're really looking forward to discussing some of the possibilities that came forward and see what comes new on this call. So welcome everyone, and we may still be having people join us, but we could start with check-ins, brief check-ins. Let's see, Kendra had some ideas for our check-in thoughts, but really just say hello, where you're from, maybe something about the holidays or peace, whatever is on your mind that you'd like to say briefly.
Well, this is Ann Kreter. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm checking in to say that during the Festival of Light, I'm hoping that we can have some light glowing here tonight. And that's my check-in.
Thank you. I think we do already.
Yeah. I can see.
I'll go next. This is Laura. I'm on my cell phone, so I don't have the video going on right now, but I was curious whether anybody has been able to see the conjunction in the night sky of Saturn and Jupiter. It's supposed to be the first time in like 800 years. Mm. They're coming together. I think they'll be exactly together on the 21st, and they're calling it the Christmas star, because they'll almost appear like one really bright star because both of them will be so close and so bright. But I was out last night trying to find it and I couldn't. So.
Yeah, I didn't know that you could see it before the 21st.
Right. Well, they're all, I think all this month they've been coming closer and closer together. Mm. So at this point, you know, I think they're getting pretty close, and on the 21st they'll be really close.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I couldn't see anything last night. We've been having snow, so the you know, it's just not, it's cloudy. It's not that.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah.
This is Kendra in Northern California. I'm celebrating the end of my daughter's semester as teaching and the arrival of the first vaccines.
Hello, this is David from Chicago. And basically, I'm just happy to be on this call. And that I think that now, I mean, it's always been imperative, but even more so now, it seems that needs to be passed more quickly than ever. I think we're at a point where maybe with some new ideas and a new push, we could get further. So that's what I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, David. Just going to remind everybody that we're recording the call for those who came on a little bit later. And we put these up on the podcast on the Peace Alliance website every month now. Who would like to go next?
I'll do it. Well, I'm Fernando, and in the state of Georgia. Georgia right now is in everybody's mind for the next month. And we are working here in Georgia to keep a group, put a group together to keep the peace and prevent violence at the whole state with several mediators throughout the state. So we're putting together a team called Joining Together Across Georgia. And we are a group of mediators trying to preserve peace. And do the escalation, whatever we need to do to keep peaceful the event here in Georgia until January 5th and after that. So yeah, very exciting, because in front of diversity is always an opportunity to make a difference. So that's where I am today. And I want to also thank you for inviting me to be part of the committee. I'm honored to be here tonight. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And the school is over. I'm done.
And thank you for accepting and being such a wonderful part of our experience for several months now.
And thanks to Laura for accepting the invitation to join the committee. Very pleased to have you both.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't I check in? I usually wait till last, but I don't know why I do that. I need to watch because I have to let people in from the waiting room. So I want to make sure I get everybody in as quickly as possible. But Karen Johnson from Chicagoland, and I'm just feeling really energized lately with the ideas that have come forth and the possibilities of more people being involved. And I'm just really looking forward to this call and feeling really good about the holiday season, even though it's COVID times and unusual and it's disrupting what I normally do. It just feels like an interesting adventure inward for me during the holidays. So I'm glad for that. Who's next?
Hello, this is Beth Blick.
Hi, Beth. Welcome to the call. I'm glad you got on.
This is Karen.
Yes.
Yeah, I was having a difficult time with my ID number. They were telling me that 464-7353-2 wasn't it, and then I dialed it a few more times, and then finally they said, press pound again. God. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to access tonight's phone call tonight.
Yeah, I don't know why it does that sometimes, but I'm glad you can.
I'm sure you've gone through that.
Yeah, I use the links. I don't use the phone that often, but I have heard that people sometimes have to try a couple times with the phone.
Okay, then I'm not the only one.
No.
Good that I'm not alone. All right.
Would you like to say anything else about your holidays or anything about peace or anything?
I can't think of anything. Well, I'm happy that the stimulus, that the powers that be are going to be getting our stimulus checks out. My sister, as usual, sent me, the proverbial $500. Dollars of what I call Hanukkah guilt.
Well, it's
so I'm always happy to get that and add that, to my account.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
she's such a sweetheart.
Okay, who else?
I could go. This is Nancy. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area, and I'm kind of trying to balance all the amazing things we have to be thankful for, and then some worry about one of our extended family members has been in the ICU for a couple weeks with COVID. She's not really showing signs of improvement, and that's there in the background.
Like
I said, trying to balance that with all that we do have to be thankful for.
Yeah, yes. That's hard. I'm glad you're here with us. Anyone else?
Did Deborah, is Deborah on the call? Did she check in?
She is on the call. She is.
What? Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, this is Deborah, and I'm in the Atlanta. Well, I'm in the Metropolitan. Hello. It's Deborah. I'm in Metropolitan Atlanta. Hello, this is Deborah. I'm in Metropolitan Atlanta. And still extremely isolated. I've only been out once in the past, since March. I think I went out once in September. I typically get off the street, I get down the street maybe once a month. So I'm very isolated as far as that physically, but I have a lot of space. And Christmas season, it's a little harder because, we're not really connected as much, but I'm hopeful for the vaccine, and I'm hopeful for the election, and my ballots have been accepted. My ballot and my mother's ballot. So my ballot was accepted on December 2nd, and that was what was received and accepted. So I'm fine there. And I love the fact that we can track our ballots and mail-in absentee ballots feel very safe. So that's me.
Thank you. Okay, I think I'm going to call out names to try and move this along. We're already at a quarter after on our time. Geraldine, you didn't. Do you want to
talk about it? This is Geraldine. I'm in California, Southern California. I'm very thankful for everything that's going on. Georgia is very much on my mind and in my activities. I'm very concerned about the violence that's been going on there, as well as in Washington, D.C. But I'm looking forward to other positive things that we'll be able to do next year. Oh. It says Christmas. Anyway, I'm thankful that they finally got the vaccine out, and I'm very happy that people have been allowed to be photographed receiving their injections. I think that's going to really help soothe a lot of fears throughout the many different populations that we have. I'll pass it on to the next person.
Okay, thank you. Charlie. Can you unmute and speak to us, Charlie? And then after that, we've got S.K. Kelly on. We'll see if Charlie may not be in a good place to unmute. How about S.K. Kelly? you like to unmute and say hello?
Yes, I would, unless Charlie's on now.
Not yet, he's still muted. So go ahead and then we'll see if he unmutes after you.
Alrighty. Sorry about that.
Oh, what a beautiful background.
Thank you. I even have my Swiffer mop handles in the... I'm an educator that teaches, I'm a public school educator who serves incarcerated youth. So prior to the jails getting shut down again, this is my classroom. So welcome to my classroom. And it's a place of peace that I try even when I was in live teaching in high schools. I'm in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area, and I've been a part of Peace Alliance for a few years. I went through the training to be a peace ambassador and kind of pulling together a more humanistic approach to reaching and teaching our youth and connecting with families and communities. And now more than ever, our children are in trouble. Our families are in great need of peace, of just a basic state of peace within and peace around them. So I think our work in expecting a Department of Peace to be put in place, that we start peace education as part of the curriculum in every single school across the country, and not just those lucky kids who can maybe parents can afford or the PTAs can afford to get them in, that we really look at the, you know, the ways that we can spread peace and love and compassion and kindness. And our work is probably more needed than ever in at least a half a century, or really around the, you know, the 60s. And, you know, people say, wasn't this parallel to that time? And I was a teenager during that time. And this is so much more volatile, so much more paradigm shifting, because we're down to the root of so many different justice issues, which I think is connected to peace. If there is no justice, there's no peace. And I really believe that we're EEACE. So I'm trying my best to invite peace in and peace out, as opposed to calling people out. I want to call people in and invite them to a place of peace within themselves, and to create a space of kindness and compassion so that they can be so to themselves as well as to everyone they meet throughout their day.
Beautiful. Thank you. Very nice and said.
Thank you.
Okay, so Charlie, are you able to say hello? You know how to unmute yourself if you're... I think you're on video, so it's down in the left-hand corner to unmute yourself.
Hello. Hi.
There you go. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm doing like another webinar thingy, whatever. So like two things at once. Hopefully the other one's going to be over soon, but I wanted to show up anyways because I care, and here I am.
Okay, well, welcome. I'm glad you're here, and hope you'll get to hear most of it, and you can catch up on the video, the podcast later if you want to, on the audio.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Then we have Paul Malay. Would you like to say hello?
Unmute.
Yes, I'm Paul. I'm from Canada, and on the Gamut board with Anne and Kendra and Nancy. And yesterday I had a fairly long talk with Georgina, and she seems to be better now the last 4 or 5 days. So I think she's going to make a full recovery. I work in peace services and peace training, not only peace training, but helping build either communities of peace or infrastructures, as as the GAMIP mandate is all about, and have a peace architecture and a lot of material that's been developed. And mostly the work is international. And that's about me.
Okay. Would you say, Paul, what GAMIP is?
It's the Global Organization for Ministries and Infrastructures of Peace. And there's a Latin American alliance and representation from the US. And I think it's headquartered in Switzerland, and the current president is from Syria. And it's a board that's becoming, even though it's been probably around for a decade or more, is now becoming revitalized and getting more active.
Yeah.
Great.
May I say that I wanted to introduce Fernando to Paul, because you both have a connection. Your background is both in the military. And I think I talked to each one of you at separate times, and here you both are. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to introduce you to each other, that maybe you could follow up, and your work, your background in the military can somehow incorporate our peace building with it.
Yes, thank you.
Hello, thank Fernando. And nice to meet you.
Good to meet you too.
Great. And you two can chat privately if you want to exchange information. Mm-hmm. You know, you could just select each other to share email or phone with if you like. All right, I think that's everyone. Did I miss anyone? Feel free to speak up if you haven't spoken yet. But I think we've got it. Okay, so let's get on with our lovely agenda for the night. Next, we have what we call a connection practice, where we just take a minute to connect with ourselves and each other on the call and kind of let go of everything else that's going in our lives so that we can focus on the business of peace and really just open our hearts a little bit with each other and practice being peace. Who would like to lead us in that exercise tonight?
This is Kendra. I would like to.
Okay.
So if you can, and you will, close your eyes, sit up straight, pull your head back over your shoulders, feet flat on the floor, and breathe in deeply, filling your whole torso. Breathing in and out, imagining that breath is going in and out through your heart. It's fanning the flame of hope within us as you breathe in and out, like a bellows. When you breathe it in, you're connecting with the whole group. And when you breathe out, you're connecting to all of the people and the land between us. We are a huge circle of hope and peace. Thank you.
Thank you, Kendra. All right. So I'm going to go over the agenda somewhat quickly, and then we'll go to each point on there just to give people an overview of what we're going to be talking about. We're going to continue the season of planning have an update of where we are. We've already gotten a couple proposals in, and of course we asked for proposals through January 15th, so there's still more time if you're inspired by something you hear tonight to submit one. And then we'll have some more brainstorming, continued brainstorming, and some updates about things going on in the campaign with the Department of Peace and the Peace Alliance, and then looking to share resources, websites, Zoom recordings, books, videos from everybody present. So if something comes to mind, you know, make a note so that when we're in that section, you can remember to offer that up. And then any other kind of announcements or other things that we decide we need to talk about from what occurred. And then we always have a closing quote. It doesn't look like Pat's on the call tonight. So if anyone has one available, we'll arm wrestle for it at the end. Okay.
Karen, Pat did, she sent a quote so I could read it.
Okay, great. No arm wrestling. Pat always wins.
or we can arm wrestle.
We'll see how we feel at the time. All right. So I'm going to turn it over to Nancy with the update on the proposals and the season planning.
Okay. So far, we have received sort of 4.5, I'll say 5 written proposals. And we have also a ton of ideas floating out there that it'd be great if people materialize those into written proposals. So the written proposals, one was from Fernando relating to Kennesaw State University and collaborating with students there on facets of the Department of Peace building. And if we have time or we want to, we can go into these more in a minute. Deborah has sent a proposal relating to outreach to the members of Congress who are on the Government Oversight and Reform Committee and involving constituents. She's also sent a similar proposal regarding reaching out to the Senate, members of the Senate, and proposing a Senate bill. And I submitted something for, I'm calling People's Peace Nominations and People's Peace Hearings, where we would delve a little bit further into the different offices within the Department of Peace and get a sense of who some of the experts and stakeholders are within each office, and then eventually hopefully hold a panel or a series of panel discussions on each separate office. And I personally think we should start, if we do this, start with the education, peace education and training. And I've had some discussions with Yelena, who's our teach peace person, so have developed that a little bit further. And then Judy Kimmel has been in touch with Dennis Kucinich to perhaps arrange a panel or a conference call with some of the 4 or 5 of the stakeholder organizations who might be interested in developing Department of Peace further, including National Peace Academy and Gamut and us and maybe a couple of others. And so far, Dennis has not responded back. He's a little busy trying to figure out which office he's going to run for, I think. So those are the main written ones. And as I said, there's lots of others that maybe Kendra would want to go over a little bit, some of the other ideas that have been submitted. And you're muted. There you go.
Oh my goodness. I know there's lots of them, and I'm not prepared.
I could read a couple. I think they were in our announcement, but some suggestions about having a database of peace organizations and studying how city and state commissions work, might work, and what they do and how they might be a model for a Department of Peace building. Having a pilot project relating to some aspects of Department of Peace building. I think that was yours, Laura. Maybe you'd want to expound on that a little bit further. And then using the Federal Interagency Committee on Peace as a reference for, or expounding on that, expanding how that would help resolve some of the questions about jurisdictional debates about where, about the Department of Peace building. And I'm sure there are more, so, and probably we'll discuss them during our discussion time. So anything, I'm sure I'm leaving things out, but. Another one I thought of is there is a UN resolution out there in the works, and so that might be something Anne or somebody would want to submit a written proposal about how this group could feed into any work to move that along. So over and out.
Laura or anyone else want to expound on anything that we've talked about before we open up the conversation for other?
This is Laura. This is Laura. Can I go now or do you want to wait? Oh, okay. With the pilot project, I think I'm still, I'm listening a lot to what's going on and what people are putting together, and I'm hoping I can get a proposal in before the 15th. But I think I was responding to some of comments that people were making about details about the bill and was this really needed because it's already been being duplicated in other areas and things like that. And, there was a lot of discussion about that. And so I was proposing a pilot project with, a small group of people, maybe 4, 5, 6 people who, and they would, act kind of as a skunk works or, they would go in with the idea of, okay, we're practicing, we're gonna try to practice what this bill is, the nuts and bolts of the bill, like how would this actually work in practice? And try to answer some of those questions, like what parts of the bill are irrelevant or what parts of the bill really work. And maybe we could get a little funding for that. For some reason, I feel like the pilot project would probably happen after Fernando's work. I'm not sure exactly why I feel that way, but it just seemed like maybe the pilot project would be an outcome of that work. And then, we had this discussion about whether it would be at an actual cabinet level or somewhat, more of the meat and potatoes of the bill. I don't really know. I mean, I'm just putting that forward so that, I think also there was a lot of discussion about, when we talked to the legislative aides and the representatives, they have a lot of questions about, well, how does this actually work in practice? And so if you had a pilot group, that maybe spent 6 months actually trying to work out the logistics of the bill, how would it actually work in practice? Then you would have something to respond to them with, okay, we've already worked that out, or this is how that works, or, and then the outcome of the pilot group would be some kind of a report that would say, okay, this is what worked, this is what didn't work. And, I think the spirit of it is just to you know, keep moving forward in actually manifesting parts of the bill rather than just talking intellectually about it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you for that, because I didn't have a clear idea of what you were thinking, but that really clarifies what you had in mind. Thank you.
Karen, there's a couple of others that I remember that have been floated, and one is, this will probably be after the inauguration, but some way of connecting with Biden and Harris to, you know, to just ask them to maybe consider an Office of Peace Building, or just to support a Department of Peace, or something in the line of, you know, awareness about appointing people who have some peace building perspective. And then another one, there's a lot of you already know that there's another working group in the Peace Alliance, which is the Truth and Healing group, which is also, it has broken into three subcommittees, and one of them relates to Department of Peace Building. So we're exploring how to apply some of the ideas of a Truth and Reconciliation Healing Commission idea to how that overlaps with Department of Peace Building, and how to kind of move forward on that. So, and then there's also always the ongoing trying to get more organizations to endorse Department of Peace Building.
Hi, excuse me. Can I suggest something? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, the question of whether to have an office. The bill calls for a department. That doesn't mean that we can't also push for an office, but the bill calls for a department. And if we do some sort of model, if we do some sort of model, we need to involve Congresswoman Lee's office with that. She needs to be very much, her office needs to be very much involved with anything like that.
Yeah, yes,
we have to stick with the bill. I mean, this whole thing is around the bill.
Right.
So, okay, and the author, the primary co-sponsor of the bill is Congresswoman Lee. Anything like that, go through her office.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Beth. What's been going on with the bill lately?
We had one co-sponsor after our lobby days in September, and otherwise we're just continuing our advocacy and exploring how we might do something different. Let me add, just we've got a bit of feedback going on. If anybody's got background noise, and encouraging people
to
police and put themselves on mute. But if I see a microphone going when we've got extra noise, I might mute you too. So don't take it personally. And you can still unmute yourself whenever you need to speak. Is that enough for you, Beth, on an update?
Yeah, I'm wanting to know what's going on with the bill so far.
And I guess I'm, what are you looking for?
Karen?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, how far along in Congress is it going?
I could give I was going to do it later, but I could give a quick update now if you want. So Beth, where we're at is about a month ago now, we submitted our proposed revisions and updates to Barbara Lee's office for the Act of 2021. And so it's in their hands right now. I haven't heard back from them, but I will be writing again just to check. And normally we probably wouldn't hear much from them till the new Congress. So it'll be sort of up to them. I mean, we ask as always for HR 1111, and we're going on the assumption that Barbara Lee will be in the House of Representatives with the new Congress, but that may or may not be the case. She may be appointed to the Senate by Governor Newsom to take Kamala Harris's place or not. And there's always a chance, always talk of her joining somehow the Biden administration, but I somehow don't think she would do that unless it were a really high up type position. So
yeah, I've kind of heard that too.
Yeah, so right now, you know, presumably that she will be introducing it in Congress. I said introduce in the House or the Senate, depending. So that's where we're at. And then it would be introduced probably February, late February, and if it's HR 1111. And then we start our whole cycle of trying to get the original co-sponsors and more co-sponsors and all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's sort of it in a nutshell.
Oh, it's the where it's on its way before it gets to the finish line.
Right. It's out there.
Huh?
It's out there. It's in the works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. All right. Well,
this is Deborah.
Go ahead, Deborah.
Yeah, we do have some new Democrats coming in. Of course, Democrats that come in and Republican districts are less likely, but there's still somebody that you can connect with and they'll listen. So we do have some coming in. We've got three new Democrats. Let's see, one, two, four new Democrats coming in that I'm familiar with, and two in Georgia and two in North Carolina. So the new bill is very important, and we're looking forward to that.
Okay.
And it might also mention we had some young people from Pennsylvania join us last month that were interested in taking a close look at the bill as well. So maybe suggesting more changes or an interim bill for the next time around. So we'll see what happens there. But, so this is pretty well spoken for with the draft.
But everybody mute that is not speaking. It's very difficult to hear.
Yes, thank you. The other thing that will be coming up is all of the congressional seats will be redistricting based upon the outcome of the census, which here in California, we've been talking about the low count that has taken place. And I would venture to say that that's probably the case in other states as well. So we're going to have to, that's going to be another thing that will be happening like next year that could again move things around a bit about who's going to be in charge of what district. And in California, there's a possibility because of the low count, we might lose one seat. So that's another thing that will be coming up that we will have to deal with when that does take place. But so we need to keep that in mind.
Thanks.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yes, this is David. And I was looking at some of these points that were on the, that were listed, some of these ideas. And I was wondering that as far as brainstorming, just the idea of maybe parts of it. I know it's all of an important, it's, as far as the bill intact, I'm wondering if parts of it could be separated. And what I mean by that, here's what I'm talking about, is that I am concerned that, let's say that once it is passed, and we do have this department, cabinet level Department of Peacebuilding, and part of the bill was the creation of a peace academy. But I'm concerned that once that happens, then you just start from zero to build that up and have it, and you won't have people graduating from that maybe 4 or 5 years, and we need people before that. And I was just wondering the idea of having, like, here you had, you talked about, like, set up a model Department of Peacebuilding. They have something to have a Department of Peace that by the time it is, it'll be something that will have been running, and all the bugs and all the things that have to be done. And by that time, it'll be a very successful, and we'll be able to have peace ambassadors to go out and replace the military, which I think is the most important thing. So I'm just wondering, separating it or having a model of it that actually is in effect of people learning and actually at whatever it is, 4 or 5 years, graduating and be ready to serve, you know, federal government as peace ambassadors, so that we don't have to and start weaning very quickly our way off of the military, pure and simple. That's what I've been thinking about.
Hi, excuse me, this is Deborah. Can I say something about that? We're, the bill does not, is not to replace the military.
No, I'm sorry, it doesn't.
Yeah, right. It's not to replace the military. It's to work with the departments, all of the departments. And there is something called a National Peace Academy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know what we can do, but we, it'll take the bill a while to materialize, just like it took the Affordable Care Act 4 years to materialize. I'm sure it would be similar. Maybe somebody else can comment on that. Please do.
This is Geraldine. I think in terms of the military, the budget, on the national or the federal level, has been taking up about 60% of the budget. So the idea was to like trim that down, and the idea is to not be using war as a solution to solving the problems, but to, you know, that the military, it's not to just abolish that completely, but hopefully transform the military into peacekeeping court or whatever, which, you know, would take quite a while. But at point in time, it was not to defund them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I know that Fernando has his hand raised, and maybe you're going to say the same thing that I am. But one of the proposals that it would not be in my domain to make, but the fact that Paul and Fernando's have the background in the military, and I have another friend in the Philadelphia area who is a retired lieutenant colonel who is very interested in the Department of Peace and wanting and has connections with the military as a retired, whatever he was doing in the I guess the civilian aspect of the military, where he had been very involved in the Marianne Williamson campaign and wanting to input how to transform an aspect of the military into peacekeeping. And then when I met Paul and when I met Fernando, that you all had the same similar desires, that it would seem to me that maybe this would be a real interesting proposal for you three to get together and brainstorm on how that would look. Because I have to just say one more thing. I don't know if you know who Jim Wallace is. Jim Wallace is a man that was the head of the Sojourners. It was very much involved in spiritual politics. And something that he said many years ago always stayed with me, that what he said was that we're always going to have war until we have an alternative place to go to resolve disputes without going to war. And to me, that's really what a Department of Peace is. And that's why until we actually establish it, so that it really goes hand in hand with the military. And the fact that there's three people that I know right now that have these high credentials in the military that have the same worldview, it just seems like a really important thing to pursue. I don't know, Fernandez, were you going to say?
If I may, where I'm from, we talk about the peace that we prepared during peace for war to preserve peace. And the war is the continuance of diplomacy by other means. What I believe and I suggest is that we had to bring a parallel of the same people we are training for war, train them for peace, so that they had the concept. And it's a muscle brain, that we need to create in them, that the war is the continuation of diplomacy. It's diplomacy first, and war is the last resource. So if we teach these people a structural violence, if we teach them what is a structural violence, what is direct violence, what is horizontal violence, what is vertical violence, and we teach them all those differences and how it works and how it's embedded throughout the whole world due to the autocratic government or narcissistic ideas. If we prepare them that, we all have narcissistic tendencies. We all do, one good and one bad, but we all have that ego that is narcissistic part of us. We do. It's as normal, it's human trait, like it is violence, like it is sexuality. It is part of humankind. So if we train these youngsters, young officers at the academy, diplomacy, peace, and war as a last resource, as a continuum of the diplomacy, because we couldn't get to anywhere else, but it's always the last resource, I think we will have very good and disciplined graduate from the military academies thinking in the future of peace. I believe that's what we need to work. Instead of creating another academy, is to embrace peace into the academy, or military academy. So they help them to embrace peace. So because right now all the thing is, as soon as they graduate, war. They want a gun in their hands. So that's my suggestion.
Thank you, Fernando. I'm just giving us a little prompt about time. We've just got about 5 minutes left in the call. We could devote an hour to this conversation alone, I think. I'm wondering if... David or someone else or several people with David would like to do a proposal around this. And I also just wanted to mention, as Deborah did, the Peace Academy right now that actually was started by Dot Maver, our former executive director. And its intention was to start up and to develop into something that could be taken into the government as the Peace Academy later on. So mm-hmm. she's been having week-long trainings for 10 years now, 11 years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's.
And they have graduates, yeah. Yeah. You know, I'd like to just also say along that line that there's actually like the River Phoenix Peace Center in Florida, in Gainesville, Florida, that was started by Hart Phoenix, who was actually one of the founders of the Peace Alliance. She started that when they realized the bill wasn't moving forward. She actually has this whole, it's a mini Department of Peace that already exists. So we're talking about, you know, creating a model, but that this already exists and she already knows like all of our philosophy. It would really be interesting to get her involved in this somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was related to the Peace Academy with Dot Maver, the River Phoenix Center. So,
yeah, and Dot is involved in that as well.
Right.
Yeah, and they do, I know I spoke with them kind of early on in their development, and part of their future possibility was, you know, bringing that out to other communities and replicating it as they developed it and had more data supporting it, et cetera. So that certainly is a possibility. And let's see. So we just have 2 minutes. So I hate cutting our conversation short, yet it's always good to keep to our hour-long call. So again, inviting everybody who's on the call, and certainly you can extend this invitation to everyone you know to put your ideas in a proposal. Just in case, are there people right now who want to raise their hand if you know how to do that in the reactions thing? Or in the chat room, I think there's a way for you to raise your hand. If there might actually be a team of people that want to work on either the Peace Academy or some aspect of, you know, an interim bill. We're hearing that here and there. And I know, Deborah, that's not what we're doing here, but it would be interesting to see what people feel like might be a baby step, not instead of the bill, but we've had other bills that other congresspeople have presented that have had small elements of what was in the Department of Peace bill. So there's that possibility for people to explore if they're so interested.
So I had my hand, I put my hand up, my electronic hand out.
Okay.
And before we leave, I want to remind you that I sent an email from the High Commissioner of Human Rights where her assistant was requesting like a bullet point, what is it that we want to for the High Commissioner to support in the bill?
Because yeah, I'll respond to you on that, Fernando, by email. Oopsie. Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, so David, if you want to connect offline on how to do that proposal, I'm open to that, or if you want to draft something.
Okay, okay, I'll talk to you after.
It doesn't look like we have other hands raised there. Seemed like there was maybe some interest.
Okay.
Okay. Let's take a breath and prepare ourselves for the closing quote from Pat delivered.
Okay. I got it. Thank you.
Are we prepared?
Yes, ready.
Okay, we're prepared. Pat says, what the past few months have proven beyond all doubt is that when societies decide to treat an emergency as an emergency, all manner of possibilities instantly bloom. And this is Naomi Klein.
Great, thank you. I'm gonna end the recording. If people wanna stay on a little longer, you're welcome to do that.